title of the message tonight is For Those With No Miracle. Now, because of our charismatic friends in Christianity, we've grown to expect miracles as God's normal way of working. And God is pictured as one who always wants to heal if only we have enough faith. In your Bible, in Hebrews chapter 13, I'm going to read this one passage of Scripture and then we'll speak. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight as we look at this subject of miracles and healing. Lord, that we'll just let you touch our hearts to the point of our need, and we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I don't know about you, but many times we've grown to expect to be healed from all different kinds of things. I never will forget when I was young and we wanted a lady in our church to be healed from cancer, and we would, the ones on television, we would heal them and they would go on. But, you know, when our loved one wasn't healed from cancer, it left us bewildered. And in many cases, we were eaten up with guilt, and people wondered, did I do something wrong? The reason my loved one was not healed, or did I not have enough faith in life? And was there something that I did that hindered God from healing in my situation? And a lot of times when God does not heal, then we become bitter, or we wonder why that God would not heal in our situation. And a lot of times we would become a little bit mad at God, so to speak, because he did not step up and do his part. And we felt like, at least I felt like, maybe a second-class citizen, that God didn't love me quite as much as he loved someone else that was healed. Now, you can read all the promises of God and stand on those promises of Scripture. And many times we have done that, yet no miracle came in our situation. The Bible says if we confess our sin, and we confessed all the known sin, yet no miracle came. As others received healing, but in our situation, no miracles came. And God seems to have really let you down. Now, friends, suffering, especially unrelieved suffering, it bothers us as humans. It bothers us when our loved ones suffer, and we ask our God if he would to bless them and heal them, and yet they are not healed. A lot of times we hate to admit it, but we are shaken in our faith. I've had many a person come to me and wonder, preacher, why did God not heal in my situation, and yet he seems to have healed in other situations? Isn't this word of Scripture where God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? That means that we ought to be healed. And the person, a person that is not disturbed by suffering of someone else, either they're cold-hearted or they've got the suffering in their heart of not being a caring person. But to you and I, we walk this road every day of suffering. And I don't know about you, but in my life, I've watched our loved ones suffer. I've watched loved ones waste away a little at a time. I've watched the pain come, and I've watched our people cry out to God for a miracle in their life, and yet no miracle came. Now, I don't know if that's happened in your situation or not, but I want to say three things that I hope will help that I found out over the years. God does not explain suffering to us. God does not explain suffering. Men do. but God does not. In Genesis 3:16 and 19 through 19, we know that suffering to man is a part of the aftermath of the fall of Adam. Because of sin in the world, we're going to suffer. Christ says we're going to suffer because of the sin in the world. In Acts 16:22-23, we know that the bad do suffer. Remember old Herod? He suffered because he was bad. Now, also good people suffer, because we know that like the apostles and the prophets, many of God's men who were chosen suffer many things in their life. But the Bible says, who has wisdom among us to tell us as an individual, this is why we suffer, and lay that out? And yet, many times, we in our life are not healed from the pains of suffering. Remember in Job's situation, Job was a man that God had blessed. God had given many things to him. His life was doing well. But the devil came before God and said, you know, if you hadn't blessed Job with all of these things, he wouldn't be serving you. And God said, okay, you can test Job if you want to, and he will still serve me. Well, we are like Job's three so-called friends many times. You understand about them, I hope. They had all the right answers, except they weren't the right answers, didn't they? Many times, we are the same way. When someone is suffering that we love, we are miserable comforters. We are miserable comforters. Can you imagine these so-called Christian friends with their sunny view of suffering say to those who have lost their loved one in death, you didn't deserve this. You didn't deserve this. As if they're blaming their suffering on who? God. A lot of times people say things that, unintentionally, but they say things that lead us to believe that God doesn't love us like he should. Or if he did, we wouldn't be suffering in such a case. That's kind of what Job's friend said. Listen, Job, you must have done something to make God mad at you. Job hadn't done anything to make God at you. Or someone asking someone who has terminal cancer, if you just had faith in God, you would overcome this. You see, that puts a lot of guilt and a lot of burden on someone else. If they could only believe that God would heal that whole thing. And yet, that doesn't explain the point of suffering. The burden of pain only adds to the burden of guilt in our life when someone speaks and they do not know what they're really saying. Can you imagine some of the super saints in our life saying, praise the Lord and be thankful that you have cancer? Well, I know that through the power of God, we can learn to praise God. No matter what we face in life, we can learn to find something to thank God for, even though we have something like cancer, even though we have something like a loved one pass away. All of those things, we can learn to praise God. But for the most of us, it is a time of just mute obedience, where we go through life and we really don't know exactly what to say or what to do, But we just trust God. We don't treat others' sorrow as so lightly. We know that they're hurting in pain. So assure them that God still cares in their life. But don't give them no easy answers that, oh, if you just would believe, God would heal all your problems. And that's not the case. God doesn't explain suffering to us. We just suffer because of the sin in the world. And the deepest faith, our deepest faith, often expresses itself upward and trustful, in trustful silence, that we just pray to God and believe God for things in our life, that He will answer our prayers, and we leave it at that. But God does not explain suffering. He never explained it to Job. Job suffered, yet he just simply trusted God in his life. Then God does not usually heal suffering. God does not usually heal suffering. The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the question comes to my mind, were the miracles of Christ, when we saw Christ walked upon the earth, were the miracles of the apostles intended to stay throughout church history? And the answer would be no. In the New Testament, we see the passing away of miracles after they served their purpose of bearing witness to the authenticity of the New Testament Christianity. The last recorded healing miracles in the Bible were on the island of Malta in Acts 28:7-10. And God, having introduced Christianity to the world, slowly let those miracles pass away. Now, I'm not saying that they're not miracles today. I believe that God can heal. I believe that God does heal. I believe that God, when a person is saved, that is a miracle in and of itself, that that person comes to light and out of the darkness. But God, having introduced Christianity to the world, slowly let those healing miracles pass away. When we were in Africa, we saw the casting out of demons. And I didn't see very much casting out of the demons in that person's life. I saw a lot of things go on that day that looked to me like they were putting on a show for us in America. But Paul, at first, when he dealt with the healing miracles, healed the sick with his mere presence in his life. Remember that in Acts 19:11-12. Just in his mere presence, he healed. But later in his ministry, he couldn't even heal himself. Now, isn't that something? Of those who loved the Lord, he could not heal. Like Timothy, his own son in the ministry, he called him. Paul was miraculously delivered from jail in Acts 16, but later on, he could not be delivered from jail. And he asked for what? A coat for warmth and someone to pray for him, lift him up in prayer. Now, I know that some of the TV healings you see, people have always asked me, preacher, on TV, when they're healing people, have you watched how they just do that and they fall over and they're healed? Well, that a lot of that's just fake, folks, just fake stuff that they put on a good show for you. But in the book, Healing by a Doctor in Search of a Miracle, Dr. William Nolan did an extensive survey or study of 82 people who were healed, and some were never really sick. Some thought they were healed, and they went ahead and died. But no single case of verifiable healing was done. Folks, many of those things you see on television and many of the cases, they're just fake. They're not real. Those people were not healed. It was a good put on. Friends, this is not to say that God never gives miraculous healing today. I believe with all my heart He does. He heals in some cases through people's prayers. Bobby, I believe God hears our prayers. I told you the other night, I pray about every little thing, and I thank God for that. He heals because of prayers of Christian friends. I believe that with all my heart. But this is the exception, not the rule, okay? In many cases, people are never healed, and we can't explain that. But I know one thing. The Bible says that our God is the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He's the same forever. And why God grants healing to some and not healing to others, we never know. That's according to God's sovereign will. It's according to God's sovereign ways in life. James said that God's suffering sometimes produces character in our life. And it produces what else? Faith in our life. Through those pains and suffering, our faith grows, James said. Paul said of his fellowship of sharing in Christ's suffering. Our Lord suffered in the Bible. And yet, Paul said we ought to also share in that fellowship of His sufferings that we might be made more like Christ. Now, the charismatics teach that the faithful will escape the suffering. I don't read that in the Bible anywhere. I know the faithful, like Paul, he suffered. He was in pain. He knew what it was to hurt. And the Bible teaches that the faithful of Christ do not escape suffering, but we endure those sufferings. With God, all things are possible. What does this all mean for you and me today with no miracle? Well, it means that for reasons unknown to you and I, we simply are traveling a road that so many people in life take. A dreadful disease comes into our life. And it does not go away just because we pray. Those dreadful diseases are there. This has been God's usual method to His people all through the Bible, in Bible history. God's people do suffer. God's people have hurts. God's people have pains. I just had a headache this morning, and it just wouldn't go away. I started out the morning, I get up in the morning, and I thought, well, it's going to go away. I prayed, Lord, let it go away. It didn't go away. Does that mean that God didn't hear my prayer? No, but God allows you to go through those times and those parts of suffering. I don't know. If it had been me, I'd have said, okay, I'll let that headache go away so you can preach. But God does not work that way. And someone said, well, preacher, if you would just believe this, that would go away. And I thought to myself, man, there's no easy explanation to all of this thing. Why do God's people suffer? It's because there's sin in the world, because we're human. And our bodies are not perfectly in time, whatever. But we suffer. And it's always been through the Bible that people suffer. But you know what? We can rest assured that Jesus Christ goes through those times with us. I was more sure this morning that God would see me through this message because I've been here before, you see. I know what it is, but we have familiar favorites. We can rest assured that God does not have favorites in the kingdom of work, in His work. Paul, Stephen, they were not healed. Stephen was stoned for his belief. He was not healed. And through that stoning, God revealed himself to Stephen. And as Stephen died, he looked into heaven and said, "I see God standing at the right hand of God. I see him standing, waiting for me." You know, the Bible tells us that through sufferings, we can be made strong. And our God does love us, and we believe even when he doesn't heal us from a certain situation, he still loves us, and he's still there in his presence. God does not explain suffering, and God does not usually heal from suffering. You can rest on those two things there. But then God does use suffering in our life. Whatever we know about suffering, we know that God uses it to grow us. We know that God uses it to make us stronger in our faith. We know that God uses it to make us better Christians and better people. God told Paul, his thorn in the flesh. You know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed over and over and over, "God, would you relieve this thorn in the flesh from me? Take it away from me." And God said he would not. You see, that thorn was there for what? For him to grow. That thorn was there for him to be used, maybe pull him closer to God, I don't know. But Paul learned obedience through the suffering. And I know one thing. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll go through those times of suffering. Every one of us have had probably someone close to us die. In those times of death, I don't know about you, but I was just kind of numb. But I know one thing, when I came through those things, I was more aware of God's presence in my life than I've ever been before. He said, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. It also produces character, and it also gives us hope in life. If you're suffering tonight, if you've got pain in your life tonight, let it draw you closer to God. Let it draw you closer. If no miracle comes for you, let suffering drive you closer to God. Don't let it drive you from him. God has put it in our life that we might grow, that we might know his love even stronger in our life. And in those times of suffering, like Job, he was drawn closer to God. Yes, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always been with his people. We've always suffered through the Bible, it says. And he's always walked right through that with us. The devil, we talked about him earlier, he's always there. In every situation, he's always there trying to hinder us to hurt our ministry, to make us not grow, to make us bitter at God, to take us out of God's will. He's always there. And you need to recognize that even though we suffer, our God still loves us. And he's always beside us. And love him back and let him guide us through these sufferings in life. We have a lot of people in our church family that are suffering. A lot of people in our church family that have things going on in their life right now. Don't come up with an easy pat answer for them. Just let them know that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Pray for them. Comfort them with your presence. But don't seem to throw easy solutions at them because there's not any. There's not any. God is the answer. In every situation, he always is there in our life, even in our sufferings. let them know that. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much tonight that even though we suffer many times, that you're always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You're always there. And Lord, for those of us with no miracle, and no miracle may come, draw us closer to you in those times that we might see and feel your presence in our life and give you praise in whatever situations we might find. In Jesus' name, amen.